Welcome to the Music of America podcast, where every week we visit a different state in America and meet a different guest in the music industry. Every day, Monday through Friday, we begin in Alabama and we end in Wyoming. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Let's talk music here on the Music of America.
It's Tuesday in Maryland here on the Music of America podcast, and today we're going to meet with Jimmy Cirillo from Jimmy Cirillo and the Misfits, and we'll talk with him and the Misfits and hear a few songs from Jimmy in just a moment. It's this simple. You buy Kitty's litter box. You open the box, place litter in the box, introduce the box to your cat. After the cat has done their business for about a month or so, you close the box and you throw it away. That's it. Just close the box, grab the handle of this biodegradable box and throw it away. It's ideal for traveling with your favorite feline, affordable and convenient. That's the one thing I didn't like about cats, and I don't know how it became my job. I hated cleaning the litter box. If Kitty's litter box were around 20 years ago, who knows? I might still have cats. Kitty's litter box, all lowercase, Kitty S litter, so Kitty's litter, kittyslitterbox.com. Order today. It's perfect. Jimmy Cirillo and the Misfits are guests today, and Jimmy may not have cats, but dude, you've got guitars, man. This is audio only, and I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It looks like 7 or 8 guitars.
Oh, that's not even all of them.
Yeah,
I got in the case.
How many you got?
I have a range from a 69 Strat I bought for a song one time. Really, literally, it was just so the guy was going to Houston, so I bought it. Now it's worth tons of money. I bought I was into Hendrix, so I bought a left-handed Strat, but I turned it right-handed strung so I could do the a la Hendrix thing. But that was my main influence. And I have a PRS signed by Paul Reed Smith, Dan Electros. I got all these acoustics. Telecaster signed by Greg Allman, because Greg Allman and I were pretty good friends back in the day before he passed away. And that's how I met Stevie Ray Vaughan, was through him.
No kidding.
And so, you know, I just saw, he's a great guy, too. I mean, just this is when he was in recovery. He's really a guitar player, but just a good guy.
I got a great Stevie Ray story from this podcast. You know Guitar Slim, by any chance? Down in Orleans?
I've heard him.
Yeah.
I've heard him.
Well, Guitar Slim Jr. Guitar Slim was like the guy that influenced Hendrix to play through, play distortion. And his son, Guitar Slim Jr., I had the joy of meeting him on the podcast last year, and he was telling me he toured with Stevie, and just like Albert got Stevie cleaned up, Stevie got Guitar Slim cleaned up. Okay. He was like a mentor.
Sweet.
And he was getting ready to tour overseas, and Stevie says, here, and he gave him his contacts book for meetings. He goes, if you're overseas, he left it in the car. He left it in the car. He's like, Tom, man, I don't know what to do, man. I'm sitting there bumming out. He goes, I get this knock on the door, and it was the driver. And he said, here, you left this in my car.
That's a little bit of high power right there, right?
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. I love it.
Pretty cool. So how'd you go?
He was pretty good. He was into it. Yeah, but what were you going to say? Go ahead.
No, that was it. Well, actually, there's the other part of the story. So that was, he had Stevie Ray's contacts book. Well, he also lived in New Orleans, and he kept it in a special drawer in his dresser. And then Katrina hit and wiped him out and lost all his furniture and lost the book. That's something. Yeah. So you toured with Stevie, or you met him, or what?
So I knew Greg really good, and Greg and I were friends, and I would go play with his band, the Greg Allman Band, back when I'm No Angel was out and all that late 80s.
Yeah.
And I was a young buck, but we got to be good friends because we both knew another guitarist named Greg Wright, who played with Michael Jackson back in the day. And if you look him up, with double G, Greg Wright. As a matter of fact, I opened up a show for him about a year and a half ago. He is what they call the rock and blues king. Everybody gets their little nicknames, King of Pop, King of this. That's his moniker. And he has an Albert King Award, actually.
Really?
Blues playing. Yep. And he was in the Louisiana Hall of Fame, speaking of Louisiana. So he's pretty good. So look him up. At some point when you get a chance, hold on, should get the mom's husband here, bud there. But he just seriously is a good musician and a friend of mine from years ago. So
speaking of Albert King, I'm looking at your collection. I don't see a flying V up there anywhere. Do you have one?
I had one. Here's the funny stuff. I had one. But what I didn't like, I loved the tone. I had a white one, and I have a picture of it somewhere. And it was just awkward for me because I like sitting down, practicing, playing. It was kind of like I had a cradle in between my leg. The
these part. Are monstrous, man.
But the tone was monster, man. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I ended up trading that in on a vintage white Telex Marshall that was only put out during an anniversary series. So I did that. I traded that in plus a little small Fender Princeton amp, which I regret now, but oh well. I have a good amp, and that's what happened to that one. My luck that it's not around anymore, but that's life. You make decisions.
That's right. So when did you start playing? Did you start in high school? Did you start younger? And was guitar your first instrument?
You know, yeah. When I first started getting influenced was, like I said, I remember seeing like Wes Montgomery, Glenn Campbell, and all these guys. But then when I saw Hendrix, I really got into him. And I didn't have a guitar yet, but I actually would make them out of wood and just pretend like I was him. I'd do the mimicking, the memes, you know, miming. Yeah. I mean, and so that was my way. I put on the headphones, like hear my train coming or something. And I was him. I didn't know where I was hitting on the neck or anything. I wasn't hitting real notes, but that's how I got it. And that's how I feel that I developed the feelings I got for music. Yeah. You know, you can learn music and all that and be very mechanical and be a whatever, but I never learned to read music, of course, like a lot of guitarists of that era. But that was my main influence. And then I kind of continued my path. I even spelled my name J-I-M-I for a while, but I dropped that because I thought, it looked cheesy. But anyway, I was only one of them, right? That's the way I look at it. So I just started playing really officially. I asked my dad for $35 to buy a guitar. I think it was a Harmony or Kimberly, I can't remember the name, when I was a junior in high school, and he bought it for me. And I still have it up there. You can't see it on the air here, but it's stripped down, and my dad refinished it in wood for me. So I keep it as a little cherished reminder of where my beginnings are. Yeah. And then I just kind of got into it. You know, I just kept going and playing with people who are better than me. You know, I always hung around people who were better than me. I wanted to learn. What's that lick you just did? What's that you did? Yeah. And I didn't mind getting embarrassed. That's what a lot of young musicians out there, if you're listening, don't be embarrassed to learn and get mentored, because you'll find your own style eventually. You'll like a Hendrix. You'll like a Steve Vai or whoever you like as a guitar player. But you don't have to be like them to be you. You know, and that's why you'll listen to songs today that are of varied interest to different people. Like, I think the first one we're going to play is Till the End of Time. That is one of those songs that is written more of a, I think it could actually be turned into a country song, and I'm not a country writer.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like one of those songs that has the piano and the acoustic bass, no lead guitar, and this is simply a story. And it's and then I get into the Wailing guitars as well. So that's kind of where it's where my blood is. It's where my mind is all the time.
It's kind of cool because, I'm almost done, but I bought this house a couple of years ago, and I'm building a recording studio downstairs and a whole, workout room and a lounge and all this stuff. So when guests come through St. Louis, I got a place to stay, you know.
Very nice.
Cook, so I can crash here, save some money, you know, because touring is really expensive and it's safe. I've got a place where you can go and, you know, I've got instruments and stuff, and, you know, you can just do some warm-up stuff before you go do your gig. So anyway, I was working on it yesterday, and I think you'd sent me your music yesterday. And so I just put it on, and I put it on loop, and I just kept hearing like the same four songs over and over again. I thought that after about the third time around, I said, this stuff starts to sound really good. In a familiar way, like this is stuff that you would hear normally on the radio on a regular basis. I was really impressed by all of it, by how the songs were put together and the production quality. So do you do stuff in-house, or do you go to a studio to do things?
So really all of them were done in the studio. I have a mini studio, like you have a little Zoom R16, which is 16 track. I can do the basics, so I can produce basics. But for instance, the adventure of Mr. Wild was done professionally in a studio. I had background musicians, singers, and everything, no drum tracks or anything like that. As far as You Got My Love, we'll talk about it later. That was done in my friend's studio, but he's a professional musician studio. It's a production in and of itself. He programmed all the drums. You wouldn't know it's a programmed drum set. And the other ones are the same way. I mean, you know, I sit there and have some that were done on old Mackie cassette tape for 8 tracks back in the day.
Oh, my gosh.
You have but you have to refurbish them. You have to bring them back to life. It's like polishing an old car, right? Yeah. And my name was another one, which we'll talk about later. I started out, I had a friend of mine was threw me a song, and it was like a blues bass. And I said, that's cool, but I'd never written a reggae song. So I turned that into a reggae jam.
Oh, really?
Not a jam. It was actually a structured song. I think, I think it came out good, you know? And then, like I said, you gave me love, gave my love. We'll talk about that when it gets time. But that's a wonderful story about my niece who has autism that handed me these lyrics. And I couldn't help but write the music and song for it and produce
it
properly.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Well,
since we're talking about your songs, let's go right into, is it End of Time or Till the End of Time?
Till the End of Time.
Till the End of Time. Is this,
that's how you would search it. Yeah. And T-I-L, The End of Time. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So how did this come about? Is this one of your older songs or is this fairly new?
It's a song that I wrote a while ago, but I reproduced it and brought it back to life. And it was about a friend of mine who I played a little guitar with in the studio and all that. But he was just my music partner's buddy, brother, I mean. And he was going through a terrible divorce. And I met his wife, and she just left him. And he was just in the dumps. Like, I guess, you know, many people that are dumped are in the dumps. That's what they call it that. And so he just starts saying, I'm going to love her to the end of time. He started telling me these stories. And, you know, musicians that write music take things and they create things if you're a writing musician.
Right.
And so I wrote this song. I didn't want it to be a rock song. I didn't want it to be mushy. I didn't want it to be sad. I wanted it almost to be a soundbite. The soundbite, like if you go on Apple Music or iTunes or any of those places, Spotify, the soundbite I put up is mostly Till the End of Time. Is I'll love you till the end of time. So people might be just listening thinking, oh, it's a love song. And then once they listen, they realize this guy's going through some crap.
He's going through hell,
And the woman never came back to him, by the way. He did get remarried, and sadly, he passed from cancer. So God rest him. But, you know, that's the type of song it is. And it appeals a lot to my female audience and some of the people that just like a mellower sound, something to dig into and what do you want to say? Feel.
It's one of those songs I could hear like Bill Medley do, you know,
I hear like a country artist doing. I really do. If you took my version and twisted it down into a till the end time, you know, something like that. Somebody's got a good twang. I think it could do something there. So I've been working on that angle, we'll call it.
Yeah.
To get that.
I think that's what's so much fun when you get good music to work with. I mean, it's got to have good bones, and it does. But once you've got that, then you can you can just start. What does it sound like if we did reggae, like you said? We did this country. What if we did it as a rock ballad? You know, it's so much fun to experiment with different things like that. Once you've got, again, the good bones, and that's what you've got in the song. The song is called "Till the End of Time." Our guest, Jimmy Cirillo and the Misfits. And we'll talk about the Misfits in just a minute, but right now we want to talk about this song, or listen to the song. It's called "Till the End of Time," Jimmy Cirillo here on the Music of America podcast.
I'm thinking about you all of the time. Wishing you were with me, still believing you are mine, and I guess I'm gonna love you till the end of time. Chasing your rainbow. Took you so far from home, seeking a future, girl, you can make your own. Though it's hard to say it, oh, there's no doubt that you'll be fine. But for me, girl, I'm gonna love you till the end of time. Till the end of time. Till the stars refuse to shine anymore. Till the sea goes dry. Till the final tear rolls from my eyes. From my eyes. Water your flowers have wilted away. You must have taken the sun with you. It's been nothing but cloudy days. The only red sunshine is the hope that you'll change your mind, and then maybe you can love me till the end of time. Till the end of time. Time. Till the stars refuse to shine anymore. Till the sea goes dry. Till the final tear rolls from my eyes. From my eyes. I said, till the end of time.
Till the end of time. Jimmy Cirillo, our guest here today on the Music of America podcast from Chesapeake Beach. I'm looking right at it, right on the bay. I'm looking right at the words Chesapeake Beach, and it says, and I say Chesapeake Bay. Kids don't get old. This is what happens.
Hey, get old, because that's a good thing.
That's true. It is a good thing.
We don't want to join the 27 club or above. That's right. We don't want to get away from
that. That's right. That's right. So we're gonna talk some more with Jimmy Cirillo after we talk a little bit about this. Jimmy was talking about amplifiers, and we've all done this before. We find that perfect tone you're looking for, and then the club owner comes over and says, "Hey, you know, you're a little too loud," or something like that. You've got to change that, but you spend all evening trying to achieve the tone, you know, where you're always in the sweet spot. Well, introducing the Lexi from Landry Amps. The Lexi is a 100-watt amp that has at its core a vintage Plexi circuit. It's got a rhythm crunch channel, a boosted lead channel. It has digital reverb, tube buffered effects loop, depth control, an awesome voicing switch. It has considerably more gain than a Plexi does at volumes that range from a whisper all the way to concert volumes, and it's designed to be played at those lower volumes without losing that tonal quality. The two channels each have their own gain and master volume control, but they share the EQ. It's really, really cool. The Lexi. You can check it out at Landry Amps. It's got a YouTube channel where Bill Landry will walk you through all of the amplifiers that he makes and say, well, here's the Lexi, and here's what this does. Here's the LS30. Here's what this does. And then he plays them for you so you can kind of hear the difference between this one or that one. You can do the same at his website, www.landryamps.com. It's Bill Landry, Landry Amps, at YouTube or at his website, again, www.landryamps.com. We were talking about amps and tone earlier, and that's how Bill Landry got into that, Jimmy. He just...
I just looked him up as you were talking. I'll look at him after the show.
Fun story, and then we'll get into talking about the Misfits, but here in St. Louis, there's a local cover band that covers Kansas, okay? They're called People of the South Wind or Point of No Return or whatever. And the guy that plays lead guitar plays through a Landry amp. Well, Kansas this year is doing their 50-year tour.
With it?
because they came out 50 years ago. And these guys, this cover band or tribute band, whatever, was playing at a casino here, and the guitar player for Kansas happened to be there. And after the show, went up and introduced himself to the guys. He says, "I really love that amp." So now, I don't know if this happened or not, but this year, while they're touring, he's supposed to be touring with a Landry amp now.
That is pretty damn cool story. See, this is how it should be, right?
Exactly. You know, I love it.
I mean, yeah, I was telling you earlier on off air that, you know, how I met Greg Allman, how I met Steve Ray Vaughan. You know, I met so many, Wintermore. So I met a lot of musicians, even Isaac Hayes back in the day. And that's how it happens. And you may be suddenly starstruck, but at the end of the day, they're us. Just maybe more accomplished, if you want to say that. But I remember talking to Greg, and he was so natural. So, and he'd tell me stories about Dwayne and this and that. When he signed my Telecaster, he said, "You know, my brother gave me this guitar. It's my first guitar, Telecaster." I said, "Whoa!" So you learn little things that people are so interested about. And when I finally met Stevie, he was just cleaned up, kind of not 100%. I don't think yet, tell you the truth, but he was there. He was mentally there.
Yeah.
And years ago, I played with the song we'll hear later, "Adventures of Mr. Wild." I wrote an ode to Parliament Funkadelic's bass player Cordell Boogie Mason, our Hall of Famer, who I actually played with too. And in that song, we'll talk about the opening is two women singing, which I wrote for them to write the little words, and it's Gary Scheider, who is the lead singer, did Cosmic Slop, sang all those songs. The problem with Funkadelic, his wife and Boogie's wife, and that. So I brought all this together to make this tribute thing. And to me, that's what music is. It should keep going on. One of the lines in there, I'm passing along to the old and new, which means don't let that die. You know,
right?
Don't let that music die. Don't let that person die. They're dead body wise, but let that music play on. That's the great thing about music, that you have a legacy. You have a legacy. If five people hear you in the year 2060, five more people heard you in the year 2060 than would have had you not put it out.
There you go.
So that's my philosophy, and I love it.
That's cool. So tell me about the Misfits, because we're really talking about you and your thing. But I did find you as Jimmy Cirillo and the Misfits. Is that just your backup band when you take off? And is it a variety of different people that call themselves the Misfits, or is it a set group?
You're 100% right on all those accounts. So back in 2016, I started playing some gigs, and I started bringing my friends up. Uh-huh. And I just kind of, I think it was right around Christmas, and I was watching that freaking, the Misfit toys, you know, when the the guy goes and grabs all the Misfit toys. Yeah. So it became a lovingly nickname to my musician friends that came and either on tour with me or played with me on certain concerts or whatever. And then eventually, as to now, I have an actual band that is steady. But, you know, Jimmy Cirillo and the Misfits started out as I'm not alone. I have friends. These are the guys. And they're my affectionately known Misfits. So that's how it started. But now it's an actual band, too.
You have set characters in place. Now, you've got a bass player. You've got a drummer. You've got, you know, rhythm player and stuff like that.
Yeah, we have a keyboard, a rhythm player. We have a drummer who's great. He's getting ready to go tour Italy towards the end of the year, January, can't even talk. And he's great. A lot of times what I do is I'll bring in another drummer or something like that, just a guest. We'd get him out front because he's a hell of a showman. And then I have a bass player, So great band, great fellowship.
What venues and types of shows are you doing these days, Jimmy? Do you do... Do you just open for other acts now, or do you do your own show and you do headline stuff? Or, you know, tell me, if I drive into Baltimore, you know, and I want to see your name, where will I see your name and what kind of show will I get?
So you'll see it at different clubs. You'll see it at different venues. We opened up, as I mentioned to you earlier, for Greg Wright, who's used to be Michael Jackson's guitar player, and he was in town. So we opened up for him. We've opened up for other big bands years ago, too. And what we do is we open up mostly ourselves, and we put ourselves in venues, you know, anywhere from 200 to 1,000, 2,000 seaters. No gigantic concerts. We're not Aerosmith on tour, you know, anything like that. But we get out there and we entertain and have fun. Yes, we've opened up for different bands at certain times. But I personally don't mind that because it gives you exposure. Yeah. But at the same time, I also like being the focus of why they came, and it gives more, I don't want to say pressure, but more respect to them because that's why they came. So I want to give me more of a show.
Yeah,
I get that. And I have more time. Open and act, you get 30, 40 minutes maybe at the most, you know. Get the hell out.
You get some of these. Yeah, you get some of these shows, you get 20 minutes, and then you're gone. You
know? Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
You spend more time setting up and getting your tone set. And you think you're all set. It's like, we're done already. Shit, we just started.
I know, right? What? I got to play two songs. My solo was fast.
My fast song. Exactly. We get together. I get some buddies of mine. We're getting together tonight. We get together about once a month or so.
Yeah.
We were talking about feel. It's a really interesting story because the guy that really got me to play lead more, this guy taught me all about feel. And he was playing the other day, and it was just being mechanical. I said, dude, what's going on? He's like, I'm in my head. My mom's sick, and she's in hospice now and this and that. And I was like, just kick back, close your eyes, and get your feel back, Tom, because you're just not there. And it took him a while, but we got on to Born on the Bayou. All right.
You haven't thinking about doing that again.
Yeah, and we played that song for 20 minutes, and he took off. He latched in, and he got his feel going, and he just
all right.
It was something, man. It was something. So
you've convinced me to play that song on my next show. Go ahead.
There you go. So do you tour? Have you gone on big tours by yourself, or have you just toured with other people? Or tell me about your tour life.
No, I have, and people of my elk go on tours, again, not an Aerosmith or Guns N' Roses or something like that, we're not going to hit stadiums. We're going to hit certain clubs, certain areas,
yeah,
certain small venues, certain theaters. So that's kind of where I've been. I took off a couple of years. I did a tour right after COVID ended. And then I took a couple of years to write and record a bunch of stuff. So later, in the self-promotion part comes up, I'm all over Spotify with a bunch of stuff I just released, and I have a lot more coming out. So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm just, as we talked, that legacy thing, trying to get that music out there. I'm not too worried about flooding the market. I'm not doing it every week or anything like that, but I do want it out there because it's a different world we're in now, Tom, because now, you don't put out albums as much, but anyway, you're putting out singles, unfortunately. So, like the old 45s back in the 60s, that was the start. Yeah. And back then, in England, they didn't even put the 45 on the album. So it was all different atmospheres, right?
I forgot about that. But that's
now,
right.
Yeah, right. Think of Hendrix's albums, like Hey Joe or something, wasn't on the album. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, you sit there and you got to hit them. And what I do a lot is on TikTok. I'll put out videos that are catchy, and I'll get the views, and in the background is my music, and then in the hashtags, I put links to the Spotify and all that kind of thing. So nowadays, with marketing this way and through Facebook and all that, you have a little bit different self-control, if you will, than you did before. But the music industry is so changed. It's just so different.
It really is.
You have to love what you're doing now.
It's so cool to talk to somebody my age, man.
Yeah.
We've seen it. We've seen it. We know how frustrating it can be, and it didn't used to be this way,
I know. It's I had some big stuff in the day and working with some big artists.
Yeah.
It was great. So for me now to be able to put out my original music and to express myself through a studio into a song that you can listen to, and you were able to listen to four of them last night, and there's more of them, like I said, on Spotify. If you just look up Jimmy Cirillo, you will find out that I have a range of stuff. I even got a stupid song I put out about a minute and 47 seconds, and it's called Coffee. I just wanted to, I love my coffee, So I wrote a stupid song. I was testing out this little mini studio that I had, so I wanted to get different dubs, and it was a throwaway song that I ended up putting out. Now people use it on the little Facebook pages and shit like that. And it's kind of
hilarious.
never know, man.
Let's get a couple of your songs under our belt here. My Name is the next one on my list to play. Tell me about My Name. Is this about you or is this about somebody?
So this is a song that came to me in an idea when somebody sent me a blues song that it was something about my name. And I get ideas from things. It wasn't a steal of the song, because I developed it into my own. So when the guy said, hey, do you want to do a blues song? Maybe we can do something called My Name. Because he was my musical partner. He was like my producer. And I said, you know, he played something he did. And I'll send it to you later after the show.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, you'll see the parallel. So at that time, I just got home. I was listening to it on a God forbid cassette tape. And, you know, I'm riding around in my car, which I used to do, and just put it in and listen for hours. I just drive around. And then I said, I don't want to do another blues song. I got some of those. I said, I want to do a reggae song. I never did. So you will hear this. And the premise of the song, which is, I think is kind of cool. And then again, I wrote it. So yeah. I'm going to think it's cool. Is if you listen to the words, he is a guy that his gal left him because he wasn't making the money anymore. And then the idea is that when I get back on my feet, everybody's going to know my name. When I get back my fortune and fame, y'all going to remember me then. You're going to know my name again. Yeah. So once you play the song, people get into it. It's a great jam. It's a within the radio personality of about four minutes.
Yeah.
And it's a good song throughout. It's good. I love the lead I did in it too.
Cool. Well, Jimmy Cirillo, our guest here on the Music of America podcast, the next song we're listening to, My Name.
When I was a winner, baby, everyone knew my name. Oh, yeah. When I had the money, my friends that I could claim. Oh, yeah. When it all came crashing down, friends couldn't be found. When I went back, my fortune and fame. Oh, yeah. Everyone's gonna know my name.
My Name with Jimmy Cirillo here on the Music of America podcast. I'm going to say it right this time, from Chesapeake Beach, Maryland, which is a beach on Chesapeake Bay. The next song, I had to write it out. I had to cross it out and write it again and cross it out and write it again, because I had it first. I had it typed as Mount Wildy or Wildy. And then I changed it to Mr. Wildy, because that's the name of the song. And Wildy was my associate principal when I went to high school, only to find out that it's not called The Adventures of Mr. Wildy. It's The Adventures of Mr. Wild. So is Mr. Wild a real person, or is Mr. Wild a fictitious character?
So, and to allude back to your point, The Adventures of Mr. Wild, it's a long title. I don't like long titles if I can avoid them, but I wanted it to make a fictitious character based on a real person, if you know what I'm saying. It's based on a couple of people in there. So Wild is spelled W-I-L-D-E for those searching on Spotify or any place, or even on YouTube. I have a full-length video. If you look up Jimmy Cirillo, you'll see the full-length video of this song. So what happened there was, when I was younger, I had written the notes. It's like down, 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 down. I'd written that part years ago. And I came up with the name of Mr. Wild years ago. But then I was working with this guy named Boogie Monson. Cordell Boogie Monson is a Hall of Famer from Carly and Funkadelic. He unfortunately passed away. I was talking to his wife, and she was going to do some kind of, you know, like a benefit thing going on. I said, well, I'm going to write a song about it. And I said, it's going to be fictitious, but it will mention Boogie's name in the beginning. A friend of the Boogie is mentioned, and that's referring to him. And then there's another person named Slim Goody. You drive me wild. I got this female singer backing with me. And we had a guy in the studio. I remember he was always stoned. He was just a hanger-on. But his name was Slim Goody when we're in the studio. And he was like, he looked like a pimp. You know, he had a big hat and the glasses. He was a cool, cool dude. But I sent a copy of the song to his wife, too. He passed away. But all these little references are just fun for me. And it's about a guitar player in the end of the day. Well, Boogie was a bass player that also ended up playing guitar for the Funkadelic. So it's a little self about me, the guitar player, but it's a little bit about them. So all in all, imagine Mighty Mouse flying through the air. That's The Adventures of Mr. Wild. He's that character.
That's funny. That's hilarious. I'm going to get that image in my head now when we listen to it here. The song. The song is called The Adventures of Mr. Wild. And our guest today, Jimmy Cirillo from Chesapeake Beach, Maryland. And here's the song right now, The Adventures of Mr. Wild.
Okay, my Funketeers, gather close around your speakers, and I'm going to tell you a story about The Adventures of Mr. Wild. Now y'all listen to Funka.
Here's my story of the one, so get on up, let's have some fun. Whoa, Mr. Wild, just a funky rockin' voodoo child, son of the funk, a friend of the boogie, we all called him Slim Goody.
The Adventures of Mr. Wild.
Spider-Man, all the ladies cannot resist, hoping just for a guitar.
The Adventures of Mr. Wild.
Adventures of Mr. Wild. He was psychedelic funky child.
The Adventures of Mr. Wild, Jimmy Cirillo, our guest here today on the Music of America podcast. And my apologies to Mr. Wilde, my old associate principal, who spelled his name the right way, but eventually Jimmy got it right. So, so I was talking to a friend of mine about my brother's couples workbook called 2 Years After Forever. It's sort of a how-to guide to improve your communication skills, which, as anyone in any relationship knows, is vital. So we spoke, and later in the conversation, I mentioned the book again, and she's, you know, I said, 2 Years After Forever is the name of the book I told you my brother wrote. She stops me and she goes, oh, your brother's book. I thought you meant a book you borrowed from your brother. Three little words, my brother's book, two entirely different interpretations. Well, in the book, 2 Years After Forever, there are exercises that help you form better communicative skills to avoid pratfalls like that one. Along with your partner, learning and applying these exercises help you get back on track to why 2 years ago, you pledged your life together forever. 2 Years After Forever, www.2yearsafterforever.com. It's available at Amazon today and forever. And we've got one more song with Jimmy Cirillo, speaking of love and forever and so on and so forth. And this is called You Gave My Love.
Yeah.
Is it a love story?
So here's the wonderful side to this story. I implore everyone to listen to this, not just for self-vanity that you'll like it because you'll love it, but the root of this song was my sister up in Upper Maryland, Mount Airy, would always have us up on the farm. Uh-huh. We had family from Manhattan and all over, go there for Thanksgiving. Her niece has had Down syndrome, of course, her whole life. And she's very artistic and colorful and all that. And she would write things and show me. But this one day at this Thanksgiving, she showed me these words to this song, and I gave her half writing credit, and she wrote them down. And I don't think any of us with, and I'm not saying this to say anything about persons with Down syndrome, any of us with this kind of mind, let's say, would be able to come up some of the words she has, like, our love is infant forevermore. I mean, Who would have thought of that? But her mind is so creative and unique that when I saw those words, I had to sit down. I went through about three or four different versions. I kept letting her hear it to put her in, you know, involved with it. She wouldn't have cared either way. But finally, I went to the studio and put this version down that you're going to hear. And so when you listen to it, it is written by an adult with Down syndrome that gave me these words. And I wrote the music, but I couldn't help but fall in love with the words. And I couldn't let them sit in her binder. I couldn't.
Yeah.
They were going to just sit there. No one was going to hear them. So now she's so proud. I showed her the videos. I showed her all the different things I've done for this song, promotions. And she's tickled pink, and her mom's happy too, of course.
That is so cool,
and
man.
So, yeah, and I'm going to plug my phone in while we're talking. And it's just, the thing is that I think it's a reward to her effort to do this. I think it's a gift to her from me. And luckily, those of you that want to listen to it, I hope it's a gift for you. So on that note,
we'll give it a listen. You gave my love. And our guest, Jimmy Cirillo, here on the Music of America podcast. From Chesapeake Beach, Jimmy Cirillo, and the song "You Gave My Love," and I love the story about it. And I love the song. You're an inspiration, man. It's really cool.
Oh, thank you.
The last segment of the show here, we call it shameless self-promotion. So I just love that. I don't know how it came to me, but I love it because it really works, man. It's this is your time. This is, I mean, the show is your time, but this is where we can really focus on how we can find you, see you, support you, buy your merch, buy your music, listen to your music, share your music. Tell us all of that.
Well, Tom, first of all, let me say thank you for picking me out of five people that you're going to pick for the Maryland portion of this wonderful podcast. I've listened to so many different artists. I just think it's a great format, and your service to our community does not go unrecognized. So I'll start with that. Thank you again for this opportunity.
No problem.
Thank you to everyone that's listening, because what you do for us just by listening to podcasts like this and then go checking out our music, it brings some kind of wealth to our knowledge that you enjoyed it or at least listened to it. If you don't like it, you at least tried it, right? It's like my sister would call to the kids, try the spinach. You know, you may not like it. It's called a thank you portion. No thank you portion. So when you do look up my name, especially on Spotify and all those streaming services, it's just spelled J-I-M-M-Y and then C-I-R-I-L-L-O, Cirillo. And the Jimmy Cirillo and the Misfits part is more for the band. The music is all under my name. You can look me up on YouTube, subscribe. I put up live shows. I put up different things up there. I put up different songs like this, these that you sent, I sent to you and you're listening to now. And I go through DistroKid because nowadays record stores and record companies are almost dinosaurs. So we have to do it the way we have to do it. The real part about music is that we do it out of love for what we do. When I wrote that song we just listened to, I did it because I did not want it to sit in a binder. I wanted to make sure that you, the listener, could go enjoy it. When I wrote the song, you know, about Till the End of Time, my poor friend was struggling with a woman that left him, and he hoped that she would come back. So I decided to write a song about it, that his blind hope, if you will, that she never did come back, by the way, but that it was there, that we all have those feelings. And so hopefully, when people hear my song on that one especially, they say, God, I like that song. It hits home for me. And that's what you hope for. And Mr. Wild is just a fun old song. If you go on my Spotify and all that, you'll see silly songs called Coffee. You'll see other fun songs like Dance With Me, which I just released. I didn't submit this to you today, but that's a newer release I just put out. And I'll be coming out with more stuff. And in a day and age where you don't put out albums with 8 or 10 songs, you put out singles now. That's why I implore everybody to take a look at my name, not the song my name, but my name on Spotify. Save it. As I release stuff, you'll get a ding or whatever that I've got new music coming out, because I try to put out music quite often. I'm constantly writing new stuff. A guy in the bar the other day where I was over there at Cape May in New Jersey, watching the sunset, and this guy gave me a line, and I'm not going to give it to you right now because I want to write a song about it, and everybody else is going to steal it. But it was the best line about a party of two, and I'm going to leave it there. You wait for the song. Okay. And I said, let me write this down. So I put it in my phone. And that's how we come up with ideas. You know, you look at a Picasso, how the hell did he make that face look like that? Well, that's our brains. Musicians' brains are like that. We think in different ways, and we hope that you, the listeners, will appreciate it. If you go on Facebook and you look up Jimmy Cirillo and the Misfits, I have a page on there for my music. You can even find me on SoundClick if you just want to listen to it for free. Again, if you have Spotify and all that, or you can go to my YouTube channel, Jimmy Cirillo, and it's all there for free. If you want to buy it, go to Apple or any of those places. I appreciate patronage, but at the same token, the way you pay me back quite often is just enjoying my music. That's what I want to do. You know, I was talking earlier to you, all the different people I played and met with over the years. I've met countless amount of people. Jimmy Jam from the time, even Kelly Clarkson when she was young, I got to meet her and talk to her, Isaac Kaye, C. Ray Vaughan, Greg Allman, Greg Wright, he's a great guitar player. The list goes on and on and on. And I was elected and nominated to be in the Washington, D.C. Legendary Musicians, along with Danny Gatton, David Grohl, you know, Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters, Duke Ellington and all that. So I'm in that class of people, and I feel honored to be kind of like on a piece of paper next to them.
That's really
cool. And so... yeah, it's little things like that. Don't always fill your bank account. Sometimes they put a few dollars in it. But when I go out and play in front of people, like my next show is December 1st down in Belle Alton, Maryland at a club called Ape Hangers, believe it or not. like the motorcycle.
Yeah.
Handlebars. Well, but it's a nice little club. It has great food. So we do tours like that and shows. Just keep an eye out on me. And all you can do for me is listen to my music. Make sure you comment if you want. But really, just enjoy your life. Don't let things get you down. And if they do get you down, I'll write a song about it for you.
There you go. Or just find Jimmy Cirillo on Facebook or Spotify and listen to some of his music. And if it doesn't lift you up, then you're probably over it yet.
Yeah, and I got a lot more music than Tom and I talked about. So, and I probably have too much more coming up.
That's fun, though. Jimmy Cirillo, thanks, Jimmy, for coming on the show. And that wraps up our visit to Chesapeake Beach. And I finally got it right without having to look at my sheet.
And that's
up
in next, Maryland.
That's where we stay in Maryland tomorrow. We'll be in Baltimore tomorrow. We meet Scarlet Angel. Join us tomorrow here on the Music of America podcast.
You've been listening to the Music of America podcast. If you like today's show, please go to the website at www.musicofamericapod.com or our Music of America podcast Facebook page. Like us and follow the show and episodes. We tally the votes of all our shows, and the most listened to shows will be rebroadcast on our Best of shows at the end of the season. I look forward to having you with us again and listening to the Music of America.